questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. Leaders are driven by their vision of meaningful change, but their vision won't be realized unless those who can help ignite it see the value of that change. What actual difference will it make to them and their lives? In this episode, Jonathan reveals that his vision gives us what is essential to our very core. The next card, Jonathan, again, we're on them. You asked, why is it in their interest? Mm. Now read this next one, please.
What difference would it make to them? The visionary sees the potential impact of a much greater whole than most. Trusting what you know, describe the difference your meaningful change will have on the lives of others. I'm hesitating because I like the language on this card. when we like the language, we linger and we go back to it.
Yeah, that's good.
To help me get a grip on this next face of the mountain, I'm going to stick with this this idea of a first instance. Mm-hmm. The first instance at the moment of whether it's the birth of the vision or the first announcement of it or just stepping onto that new ground. What difference, this is the question, what difference would it make to them in that first instance? There has to be a moment of provocation, awakening, eye opening, eyes opening, ears opening. So describe the difference your meaningful change will have on the lives of others. In the first instance, it has to be attention, a sense of a need to stop. Hang on, what's happening here?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the first.
Because it's been normalized.
Fantastic.
They've become inured to it, blind to it. And now you're saying, hold on.
Yes.
Putting a spotlight on it.
Yes. So describe, what I'm trying to do here is, and there's a very healthy tension running through all of our conversations between the here and the now and then the future.
Yeah.
And how anything branches out over time. In this first instance, what's the first moment of meaningful change? It has to be a grabbing of attention, an opening of eyes and ears because there is something that is genuinely new.
How challenging that must be when momentum moving in a specific direction is so intense. Stopping momentum, you know, that moment that is something that requires so much energy, isn't it?
Well, yes. And as I say this, I'm immediately skeptical, not because of my vision and what we're discussing, but looking at the world we live in. We live in a world of the permanently new. So we celebrate, our culture celebrates the permanent renewal every day. Now, this is the rhetoric and what's in the air of our culture. We might be a million miles away from the truth about whether anything is actually being renewed. But in the culture, the language that we see in our media, the language out there in the world, whether it's the corporate world, the political world, the artistic world, often it's always renewal, this celebration of the new every day, which if we think about it for a second, is just impossible. but we are where we are. So I'm saying this, looking at the card here, trusting what you know, describe the difference your meaningful change will have on the lives of others, I have to believe for my vision that there would be a moment of someone feeling that there is something new here. And again, this is just the first instance, yeah? This is just the first instance.
A glimpse of the possible?
Yes. How do you, I'm asking myself the question here, how do you bring somebody, how do you get somebody to listen?
Here's a question for you. How do you present or communicate a new approach to an ancient truth? Home, ancient, primal, at the core of life. And yet you're saying this is something new. And we can go into relativity. We can go into a generational loss of any sort of perception of the ancient truth to begin with. So for them, completely new. We can go into a lot of places here. At the core, new absolutely. Ancient at its core. Ancient.
The ground is new, though.
Yes.
Ancient at its core, but you break with the past.
Yes.
So we stand on new ground.
Yes. Yeah. Describe the difference your meaningful change will have on their lives. Again, I'm searching for these first instances. There is a movement away from their posture of fear. Yeah. So
they've been in a posture of fear?
Yes.
Largely.
Anxiety.
Anxiety. Their own sense of home.
Yes. So paradoxically, it's almost stepping outside of their house in the physical sense of bricks and roofs and windows. Stepping outside so that they have the confidence and trust to step outside. So there's a deep paradox.
So this are is you the pulling them out of their homes?
Yeah, this is the paradox at the heart.
Come
of the
out pub- into yeah. the public square. Yeah. You can't be isolated in your home anymore.
The public square. So, you know, this is that bigger sense of home where because we're at home, we feel comfortable stepping out of the house.
Right. Gotcha. And just side note on this, and I almost hate to have to tell you this at this point in time, but rallies to you are hugely significant because through your rallies, you are creating for them, having stepped out of their homes, the very experience of a shared public space.
Well, I think we're still in that first instance. We're gently, very gently moving forward here. Trust takes time, usually. In larger numbers, in groups, trust takes time. I think we can meet somebody. I look at our relationship, Marianne. I think we met only a few months ago, but I think...
Well, maybe eight now.
Right.
Seven or eight,
seven,
yeah.
Seven or eight.
But it feels like a few months.
Right. Yeah. And the sense, the levels of trust were very high very quickly for reasons which you and I would understand instinctively. Mm-hmm. I think in larger groups... societies, it's harder. Trust takes time.
Especially when, as you began these conversations, Jonathan, the distortion of truth.
Well, right. Indeed. So. If our starting point in the real world is very low levels of trust, so a pretty dizzying loss of trust in some of the countries that we've talked about over the last many, many hours. So if our starting point is a loss of trust, then if I'm trying here, looking at the card, if I'm trying to describe the difference your meaningful change, your vision will have on the lives of others, there has to be a beginning of the recovery of trust. You know,
and with trust, you have to earn it. People don't just give it to you. You have to earn it.
Right.
So how do you earn it?
Well, I think this can be achieved. Or partially achieved in first instances. Yeah, we can have when we meet somebody for the first time or speak to a group for the first time, we can do this in ways we open ourselves up. You and I have talked a lot about eye contact and just the sheer importance of eye contact in the street. Yeah. So again, here in the first instance, I'm drawn to ideas of posture, physicality more than words at this stage, because I'm trying to get to this first instance, that the meaningful change will be felt before it's heard.
Mm-hmm. Does this tie into them giving up their bodies for their cause?
It's not as dramatic as that. That is true in the moment of resistance, when that is required.
Or compliance, can you see it that way as well?
I think if we're talking here about a moment of change, what we hope will be a moment of change, where the change is shared. If the vision unlocks a shared sense of the need for change.
Yes, which it needs to do.
Right. So what difference would it make to them? I'm resisting. I can see further down the line it more easily.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to reverse engineer?
Well, I think I'm sort of doing that in this first set of answers. Again, I'm drawn to chronology and foundations. I remember we had a very good conversation in London about what would it feel like. This actually came very early on. It was an interesting card to have, if you think now, because it feels linked. It feels like a distant cousin of this one, where one of the early cards is, what would your vision feel like in that new world? It was very early to introduce that, but it was very helpful. And I'm sort of going back to that here. I'm refusing to imagine at this stage. I'm refusing to imagine the daily life of a family in this new world and how it plays out. Mm-hmm. I'm preferring instead to how people would feel on hearing the vision for the first time. That's where I am.
Awesome. Yeah?
That's not the question, though.
No.
The question is, what difference would it make to them? What is the it?
The vision. Yeah.
What is your vision? Put those words into the sentence.
A shared home. Yeah.
So what difference would a shared home make to them?
Yeah, it's a renewal of a sense of belonging, a renewal of a sense of purpose, shared purpose in a collective endeavor. This is why the word public is so important, where it doesn't cancel out their private lives. You know, I'm very, very, very clear about this. But where they are, where they want to walk back into the public square, as you described it, Marianne. And I think the public square is a great metaphor here, because if we look at how some of the countries I know, and I'm not going to name them, I don't want to go back into party politics or national politics, but how, you know, we've seen how not only through the pandemic, but through bigger economic and technological change, our city centres can be ravaged, hollowed out. Yeah. So the metaphor here is the meaningful change will give people the courage and the trust and the desire to go back into the city. For me, in my world, how I see the world, that's a huge difference. You know, what difference would it make? For me, that would be, in my world, that's a big difference. You know, what you then do in the city and what you say, okay, that comes later. But that first act of leaving your house, you know, so I'm not talking about home here, leaving the bricks and mortar of your house so that you go back into the public house, the public square, that you have a sense of being in a shared home again, that for me, in that first instance, has to be the meaningful change. And that would be felt. Yeah.
It would be felt. Yeah.
And not measured perhaps in new behaviors or habits or that.
No.
I'm refusing that. I don't want to go there yet.
And And we spoke about disenfranchisement, detachment, so it would be felt as the opposite of that. You used beautiful language there. I'm picking up just a few.
Very moving, wasn't it?
It's, yeah. I mean, truly. If even part of what you've now elicited, even part of it, Jonathan, I'm going to give you a few threads. Go to your heart for a moment. Mm-hmm. It would give you a renewal of a sense of belonging, a sense of purpose.
Which ultimately can be viewed as the camel and the straw. The final straw that broke the camel's back was forced isolation.
Yeah.
So this, addressing such a fresh, raw, gaping wound, fantastic.
Yeah. And you said go back into the public square, yes. Back into the city, yes. You could extrapolate from that, you know, go from local to universal. That public square can get bigger and bigger and bigger. It could be planetary. It could be whatever, right? But generally, what came up for me, and let me ask you this as a question, could it enable them to feel part of something bigger than themselves?
Yes. And I go right back to something that Jean said yesterday, because this is just so important, that there's such a deep, deep human truth here. And this is when Jean was talking about contribution and service. This is beyond duty. We're going beyond duty here. And therefore we're going beyond virtue. This is what people need. And I say this, this is where I'm pushing myself to be very forceful in my language. I'm putting the brakes on and saying, oh, hang on, I've just said, this is what people need. I'm going to plow on. What people need, what they want, is to be part of something bigger than them. They do. I just know that. I've been around long enough to know that. And it's really important. It's really, really important.
Why? I'm asking for myself.
It's wrapped up with so many good things. All those earlier conversations about worship, whether you are literally at the feet of a pop star that you worship, in the seat of the stadium that your father and his father and his father and their wives and daughters have all gone to for the last six generations to watch the same team in the same stadium. So rituals. Those are just the first examples. They're just the first examples of the deep pleasures and the joys, yeah? The pleasures and the joys of being part of something bigger. But there is a need as well. And it comes to meaning. The next word that pops into my mind is meaning. If we don't have meaning in our lives and a sense of purpose, and everybody finds their own path to that again, yeah? The examined life is not about arriving at the answer. It's about arriving at your answer by following your path, whatever it is. But if we don't feel that we're part of something bigger, we're lost, we are homeless, but also utterly alone. Are we not utterly alone if we don't feel part of something bigger? Yeah.
Where does connection fit into this? And perhaps interconnection?
Yeah, it's another word that needs rescuing. Connection can and should be a good thing, that we're connected to each other, we have a deep sense of being connected to each other. It's been tarnished, degraded by social media. It's not the only culprit, it's the one that springs to mind. Most obviously, why? Because it promised connection in its mission statement, in its advertising, in its whole mantra. It was about connection, and it's divided us and made us angry.
Does connection have to begin with connection to oneself? Can you connect to others if you are disconnected within?
This is the heart of the vision. I think I think the connection to others and being part of something bigger is part of the healing of one's inner fracture. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Beautiful.
Which comes back to this idea. So when we say we cannot become our true selves mm-hmm. without other people, this is where we are. Mm. And I think as humans, we become our true selves when we become part of something bigger. And there are so many different ways that this can happen. I think what my vision is trying to do, the big question it's trying to answer, the heart of the vision is our need to be part of a public collective endeavor, a way of living together within a shared home, which allows people to be who they want to be with a sense of safety, confidence.
Deep wisdom here.
Mm-hmm. And where they do that knowing that they need other people. And it's, for me, this is the same mantra, yeah. Not only for companionship and love and friendship, vital those things are, but that we need each other to become our full selves, our true selves.
Our realized selves.
Yes, yes.
Imagine that as you walk your journey, Jonathan, you've stumbled upon a fruit farm and the trees on this land are adorned with ripe, heavy fruit begging to be harvested. How much endurance do you have, given that what you have shared in this vision is akin to that fruitful landscape? And the reason I ask about the endurance is because there is going to be a flood of opportunity to enact and share in the truth of your vision once you begin disseminating it. Huge, huge opportunities. The reason I say that is because you have identified the next step for them. That is supremely important in order to move them into the ancient truth of home again. How's your endurance?
Mm-hmm.
And this partially goes back to that card on willingness. Are you willing to?
It's hard not to feel my head moving forward now down the process. I'm being drawn now further into it and starting to imagine beyond the first instance. The vision is not prescriptive. We've said that a few times. It's not saying this is what we together now have to do. That's not what it is. I like the idea of igniting, which is on all of the cards. We talk about igniting change always, and that gives us a sense of something. You know, when we ignite it, we have a sense of something spreading. You know, energy can spread very quickly. Yeah, we know that.
And if you look at the ignition system in a car.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens when you turn it on? You turn
spark,
the key or yeah. the fob or whatever.
Spark, ignition. Yeah.
And you can
yeah.
start to move.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think, Catherine, if I've understood you correctly, we're yeah. now looking beyond that and sustenance. Mm-hmm. How do we sustain?
Yeah, we are. And I'm specifically fruit. Speaking to you because when you begin to represent this vision, you found the button.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
the start button.
But this is the value of conversation and conversations that continue, and this is where the suppleness of the vision has to come in.
Absolutely,
it's not rigid. Yeah, there's a sense to the vision that it's a spirit. Yeah, so new language. New words, mm-hmm. new way of seeing the word. So vision, yeah, vision, new way of seeing the world. So this takes us to suppleness.
Beautiful word.
Not a prescription, but a new spirit.
A new spirit.
Yeah, oof. Yeah, a new spirit. Again, going back to what Jean was saying yesterday, when we talk about service and public service, we often talk about a spirit of public service, yeah, a mm-hmm, spirit of public service.
That takes us outside of ourselves.
Absolutely. 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 So again, virtue, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But something beyond that. Virtue is so important. The things that guide us towards good.
Yes.
Yeah. But we need energy. Coming back to your idea, Catherine, of sustenance, what's going to sustain us? And that's where principles are not enough, values are not enough. So we've talked about the limits of language. Here we are, the limits of values, that even values have their limits.
Absolutely.
Because we need to be sustained and propelled and moved forward. And it's spirit. It has to be spirit. So this vision would have to generate a new spirit.
Is this where fueling this from the soul, that exchange, we do what fuels the soul gives back? Is that where part of the sustenance for you comes in?
Yes, and conversation that, mm-hmm. let me frame it in a slightly different way. Does a visionary have all the answers? No. For me, that's just a dead obvious question.
Absolutely.
The idea of a visionary.
Right.
Again, it's the rally that becomes terrifying.
Because of the questions that you would get?
Uniformity. You know,
it's
the little alarm bell, mm-hmm. that is constantly there or coming on and off at moments where, and it's the danger of prescription. Why is prescription dangerous? Because it's rigid.
Yeah.
It will lead people to reject it.
And they will look to you,
yeah.
to tell them. But what if the rallies were a forum for conversation?
Yes, that's what I'm feeling.
Okay.
And where through conversation, the vision takes on new layers, and where people find their own personal, intimate iteration of
absolutely
the vision. Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing a landscape of rolling hills in a countryside with roads that split up that go perspective deep into the extent of the landscape. Lots of land. The ground is there. The sky is there. The horizon is there. When you show them that, the people, let's say, who participate in the rallies can choose where to build their homes in their own expression, where they feel comfortable putting themselves into this vision. So that's where you not having all the answers, absolutely, that's not your point.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can focus not only on their own individual, quote, homes, but also on their own individual locales, mm-hmm. wherever they are in the world.
Yes. Yeah. It's a vision that wants to give energy and confidence more than anything, perhaps, rather than direction. Sometimes we need to give direction. Yeah. There are moments where we have to give direction because people want direction. Yeah. People need direction. This is something more immediate. Again, in its first instance, I'm resisting where rivers and trees branch out. This is we're at the source here, somehow. Not the source of the idea, not the source of the vision, but the beginning of the amplification. That's where we are, and that, as you were saying, Marianne, if there's, when we turn the key and there's a spark, it's all about energy here, bringing energy.
Couldn't be more right on that. Yes.
Unlocking energy, which is there.
Absolutely.
But
isn't connected to anything.
Isn't connected. Can't go anywhere.
Right.
Anger as well. You know, we've talked about the value of anger.
Yes.
Anger that is lost. We want people's anger. Give us your anger. There's a great T-shirt. Give me your anger. And we know, I've felt somebody in the room here. Give me your anger, not because I want to get voted into power. Mm-hmm. But give me your anger because that's what we need to make something better. Yeah. We make something better from our anger.
From the intolerance that stems from the anger.
Yeah, yeah. Let's come together to put our anger to good use. Mm. I mean, riffing here.
You know, it's good riffing, fabulous riffing. This is not a cautionary note. I am reflecting, however, that on your assertion, your adamant assertion or declaration, actually, in this case, that this is not about giving direction. Your vision is not about direction. And I think to some degree, you are correct. In most cases, it is incumbent on the visionary, on the leader, in imparting that vision, to guide people on how to fulfill it. Because otherwise they literally go off scattershot in all directions and nothing changes. They're each interpreting what to do for themselves. So Unify sometimes responds to that. It's initially or at one level designed to prevent that, to unify them in thought and action. In your case, that is still true, but I'm highlighting that the means through which we unify are through the use of two speech acts. Again, this is about expressing, right? Expressing so that the words and the actions are congruent and support each other, make each other true and credible. So the speech acts that you will see emerge in Unify are to make requests of them and to make offers to them that will support them, guide them, help them as they step forth. So you know, Jonathan, the power of rhetoric. And sometimes it surfaces in questions, posing a question. So as we get there, I'm flagging it now because this is not about providing an absolute roadmap of where they go. You don't know. You can't provide that. That's not your role. But it is about enabling them to find the right route for themselves. And it may well be that your requests surface in the form of further enlightenment for them as to their own action through questions, etc., through the requests that you make. Yeah. So I'm only raising that now because to a degree, you're absolutely right about direction. But there is some need there. I don't want you to be blind to it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That really rings very true. My way of understanding that and responding to that is to say, yes, it would not be enough to simply give people the tools, even, you know, even that, even if they were the right tools. Mm-hmm. It's not enough. Mm-hmm. It's not enough.
They have to know how to apply those tools to their own worlds. Jonathan, you use such profound language when you responded to what the difference is. And, you know, that sense of purpose, the sense of belonging, you use the word renewal. And as you were speaking, I saw the need to crack them wide open. And so when you look at this, is of course an extreme, but if you look at those listening as being numb to everything that is happening to them, they're in a state of numbness. There is, and back to renewal, it's a state of where they can't feel. They literally cannot feel. They're in, to a degree, in critical care, where they need surgery to crack them wide open. So I see you as a surgeon going in with your words. How do you respond to that?
I really like the word numb, and it strikes me as almost incredible that we haven't stumbled across that word before now. I don't think we have. I don't think we did in London. I may be wrong, but I really don't think we
can
have.
Can you feel when you're numb?
This is it, isn't it? And there's a great paradox here where I think numb is one, it's only one word, but it's a good word that feels very apt to describe important aspects of our condition at the moment. And there's a great paradox here, because if we live in a world of permanent stimulation at the moment, permanent stimulation, how could we possibly feel numb? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. How is that possible? And when we talk about permanent stimulation, the obvious example is the screen, our phones. They are designed biochemically to stimulate. They want to give us biochemical hits every second. So how can we feel numb if that's what's going on? And there's no easy answer to this, but there is something about permanent stimulation that is private. I'm going back to this key here of the difference between public and private. There is some loneliness within us, some boredom, some loss of purpose that requires stimulation. So we're in the private world here. We cannot be with ourselves. It's too uncomfortable to be with ourselves. So we take stimulation. We want stimulation to get through the next second and the next second and the next second and the next second. So this is all deeply private in the wrong sense.
So we can't just be still.
Right. We can't be still. And this is that the negatives. This is not the refuge. This is not the necessary good human privacy that we need. This is something else. This is being removed from the world. Being in a private bubble of stimulation.
Distraction.
And distraction, yes, yes. So why is this important to the vision and the last discussion about why will the vision be meaningful to people and how will they feel about it? In that first instance, how will they feel that their lives are changing, or at the very least the prospect of change? And I think it's because our heart's need something more. And we arrived at this idea that being part of something bigger is not just a duty and not just a virtue even, but a need, a deep, deep need, a hunger and a thirst for something bigger. And that led us to meaning. That's because we need meaning in our lives. We want meaning in our lives. And the day that we have meaning again in our lives, then we cannot be numb. We cannot be numb at that point. If we have meaning in our lives and a sense of purpose and a sense of belonging to something bigger. I don't see how we can be numb anymore. Yeah, in Leven, you know, to rise up in Leven, we're looking at the card here, in Leven, to rise up stronger, to lift up, to elevate, to expand into greater awareness of consciousness and capability. That's the, everything there is the antithesis of numb. That whole card in Leven is the antithesis of numb. And we cannot rise up stronger. We cannot elevate others or ourselves. We cannot expand into a greater awareness of consciousness and capability if we are locked into a trap of just permanent stimulation, which is leaving us numb. You know, again, remember, this was our starting point. How can we feel numb in a world of permanent stimulation? And it's because as humans, we need so much more. We need so much more. Our hearts and our souls are not satisfied by stimulation. And if stimulation is just getting us through from one moment to the next, it's wrong. It is not the answer. And this is where our intolerance needs to come in. Stimulation is not the answer. I hear the laughing cackle, the cackle of derision. This is not a tirade against fun or joy. This vision is an attempt to rescue joy and fun. Yeah? Because where are the deep joys of life? With other people. Yeah? Where are the deep joys of life? With other people. If we're having deep joy and fun with other people, how can we feel numb? We feel numb because we're alone. We feel numb because we're alone and we have stimulation. It's not enough. So it's great, Marianne, I think that you brought in that word, because it's one of these huge paradoxes. Why? How is it possible that we feel numb? Not all of us, I'm sure, but for me, it does speak to our condition. It really does.
So the antidote to numbness and disconnection, you use the word meaning. What does meaning look like?
Oh, meaning is it's everything, isn't it? It's, you know, back to fiction for a second. What's a good, a really, really good book giving us? Joy, fun, absolutely. Entertainment, yeah, absolutely. Bursts of imagination and excitement, yeah, absolutely. But ultimately, the books that really stay with us, the books that change us, are the books that give us a sense of what it means to be human. And by talking to us, again, no prescriptions, novels are not prescriptions. They're not telling us what to do, but they give us a sense, they give us a glimpse of what it means to be human. And through that, we get meaning. So as we feel what it means to be human through the eyes of other people, again, other people, through the eyes of other writers and how they have imagined the lives of other people, others, other people, through that, we get a sense of meaning, what it means to be human.
Shall we go back to the question and sum it up?
What difference would it make to them? So trusting what you know, describe the difference your meaningful change will have on the lives of others. This is about rediscovering together a sense of belonging, a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, and a sense of being part of something bigger than us. And why? Because we need these things as human beings.
And what difference will all of that make to them?
Well, if we continue for a second from numb, rediscovering sense. There is the sense of in the sense of meaning and direction, but also recovering our senses. Yeah. We've not talked about this yet, but there is some aspect of this vision which is about feeling and feeling part of the world. So I'm just adding this, and we may park it. We may have to come back to it later, but there is, we're back to the body here. There is some aspect of this, of where we are literally, literally in touch with the world again, feeling the world again. Because again, that's the antithesis of numb. If we're trying to get away from numb because it's terrifying, then it's about feeling the world around us.
What about the world within?
The beginnings of healing, where we begin to mend our own fractures within ourselves through our connection with other people. I think this is fundamental.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
How do you even begin to speak about what difference your vision will make when anyone listening could be either distracted or numb? In this episode, Jonathan saw that first you have to get their attention and maybe even crack them wide open enough from that numbness. He sees that there has to be a beginning of the recovery of trust, and that his vision would be a renewal of a sense of belonging and shared purpose. He declared once again that we become our true selves when we become part of something bigger. And he spoke about the value of the public square and how we need courage to re-enter it. There was some relief in his voice when we discussed what it means to ignite and how the vision would spread and generate a new spirit. But I cautioned him that he will still be responsible for guiding others on how to enact his vision. He landed on knowing that his vision will restore a sense of belonging, purpose, and meaning to people's lives. It will, in my words, enliven them. We'll feel the world around us again and begin to mend our own fractures within by being connected with others in that shared and public home. The leader's journey continues. Stay tuned. If listening to this Illumify Game Changer podcast is of value to you, please like it on this platform and share it with those who could ignite meaningful change. It's here, as am I, to be of service. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the Leader's Journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.